The Lord be with you. Welcome to St. Paul's Lutheran Church. We gather today to celebrate the resurrection of Christ in word and sacrament. Today in the church year, it is what they call in the books lectionary 17, which means we're in Matthew's gospel, and in Matthew's gospel chapter 16, whole question about who Jesus is. And then today, the really hard answers to who Jesus is reflected in his responses. My name is Pastor Dave Saylor, and I just started last Monday, in case you didn't know, and glad to be here for my first worship service to lead with you this morning, which means that since it's my first one, and maybe some of you had done some things for the first time and totally did everything wrong, that's not going to happen today, because everything that happens, happens for a reason. So we will make our way through worship today in joy and appreciation for God's gifts. Let us prepare ourselves for worship with confession and forgiveness. You may stand if you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. In the presence of God, who sees our hearts and our minds, let us confess our sin. God of our strength, we confess that we are captive to the power of sin that dwells within us. We put ourselves first and others last. What we think will make us happy leaves us longing for more. Even when we want to do what is good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Rescue us from death's grip on our lives and raise us up day by day, that we may be alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we are justified by God's grace as a gift. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, in whom we have forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. Amen. Our first hymn is number 880 in your ELW.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For you people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God.
Amen.
Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast of the Lamb once slain, whose blood has freed and united us to be one great people of God. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Power and riches, wisdom and might, all honor and glory to Christ forever. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. For God has come to dwell with us, to make us people of God, to make all things new. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy. To the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example, point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verses 15 through 21. O Lord, you know. Remember me, and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Word of God, word of life.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in darkest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone. Give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I will hold your people in my heart.
We will be reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 26, verses 1 through 8. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. Your love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked. Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds. Your love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Before I read the scripture today, I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention to the words and ask for yourself the question, who is Jesus? Your names for who is Jesus in this text cannot be wrong, but I want you to ponder that so you're ready for the rest of the liturgy today. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and children, may come forward for a message for them, please. Children for me means pretty much anyone up to, I don't know, 10th or 11th grade is okay with me. I can just see the 9th graders rushing to come up. Yeah, just kidding. Well, good to have you guys here this morning. I have a little story to tell you. And, oh, yeah, come on up. A little story to tell you because I think sometimes if you just hear a story, it kind of sinks in all by itself. It doesn't need explanation and that whole stuff like that. And I found this neat story about a boy and his brother. A story about Nate. His big brother's name's Sam. Sam was really a good runner. He was on a high school track team. Had won many awards for running the hurdles. You guys know what hurdles are? Where you jump over something and then you fall over them. And if you don't fall over, you're really good. Well, apparently Sam didn't fall over. Okay. Well, sometimes on weekends, Sam would let Nate go with him on his practice runs. Imagine that. Your little brother going with you on a practice run. There you go. Well, Nate would have to run as fast as he could go to keep up, but it was worth it. He was proud of his big brother and willing to suffer a little bit just to be with him. Well, one Sunday afternoon, Nate asked Sam if he could run with him. Well, Sam said, sure, but what about your homework, Nate? Do you guys do your homework? Come on, honest, really? Okay, good. All right. Well, he says, I thought you were making a booklet for that class. Is it done? And Nate said, well, not all the way done, but I've done most of it. I know Mom wouldn't be very happy with you, Sam said, if you don't have it done by tomorrow. And so Sam said, come on, let's take a look at it. Well, what Sam saw was that Nate had not been very truthful. He put the booklet down and said, I don't think you should go with me. You got a lot of work to do here. But Nate insisted, this is hard work. I'd rather be running than work on this boring old thing, this stupid booklet my teacher made me do. Don't tell Mom, and she won't know. She won't be home till 7 o'clock anyway. I can work on it later. Sam put his hand on his little brother's shoulder and looked him straight in the eyeball. I know you think racing is the most important thing in the world, and I know you think jumping over hurdles is the coolest thing in the world, but you know what? There are more important things than that. And you know how important racing and hurdles are to me. But there are some things that are just more important than that. I run, he said, because it makes me better every time. It's fun to win with all the awards that I've won and everything like that, he said. But I wouldn't be happy if I wasn't doing the right thing first. He said, when I run the hurdles, there are fences every so many feet on the track. You've seen that? I have to jump over them while I'm running. By the way, have you ever run a hurdle and jumped? Really? Do you jump hurdles? Yeah, exactly. I can't even imagine. I can barely jump over my feet, let alone a hurdle, right? Well, he says, it's important that I run, jump, and land in a certain way. Otherwise, I'll lose time and won't win a race, et cetera, et cetera. It takes hours and hours and hours of practice. I never had the patience for it. He said, we also have to practice to learn how to jump hurdles in our lives. He told his little brother, Nate, sometimes the hurdle is being willing to work hard on something, even if we don't feel like doing it. Life is about running hurdles, Sam said to his brother, Nate. It's important that when things are very hard, and I'm sure each one of you has had something hard that you had to go through, whether it be a test or something you had to go through with your family, or maybe you were a time you were sick, thought, how am I going to get through this and over this? Well, Sam said to his brother Nate, that's what's important, is being able to jump over the hurdles and find that there's a good running on the other side of that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hurdles in life. With those hurdles in life, O Lord, we learn about the life that you give us on the other side. Bless us with the hurdles, but bless us also with the running beyond them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up today. And you don't have to be jumping over pews or anything like that to prove anything. Good. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible is full of lots of stories. The Bible tells us who God is. The Bible finally tells us who Jesus is. The Bible fills us in on what the Holy Spirit is. And here in Matthew 16, the whole chapter of 16, you get a load of who Jesus is. In the beginning of chapter 16, the Pharisees and Sadducees challenging Jesus in a kind of sense that maybe this guy might be a prophet, some kind of special visionary or prophet who can see the end of time. Well, Jesus isn't quite ready to fulfill that completely. Later on in chapter 16, the disciples are around and they discover, hey, this guy's a great teacher. In fact, they finally say he's the Messiah. Like good Sunday school answers, Peter gets it right. You're the Messiah. Jesus goes, yes, you get a gold star right on your forehead. Way to go. It's wonderful to get those answers right about who is Jesus. Verses 21 to 28, who is Jesus? Remember, I asked you to think that. Who is Jesus in this text? If you're going to say, okay, you're going to tell somebody in a line at Walmart this week, who is Jesus? Oh, by the way, I just heard in verses 21 to 28 of Matthew 16. What's your answer? Well, one answer for that here appears to be that he is the crucified one for life and one to be followed. Well, that's good. So we got that out of the way. We're in good shape. But my question is a little bit bigger than that, too, maybe. Who are you? Now, I know about six people's names really good right now. After this is my sixth day on the job. So one a day, oh, I don't know, maybe in 2 years I'll have 731 of you down. Leap year coming up in a little while. I have a long way to go. But it's not about learning your names. Who are you? Because eventually I'll find out who you are. But do you know who you are? To get to that answer, I have three questions for you. And I'll ask you to put some kind of hand up in the air. Now, if you're, hopefully, I think all of you have hands. If you don't, maybe ask someone to raise your arm or something like that. I have three questions, and I'll expect you to put up your hands. And if you don't get full participation, I'll keep asking. So that's just the way I like it. First question, are you human or divine? Raise your hand if you're human. Okay? Put your hand up if you're divine. We got one. All right. Oh, no. Now I'm really scared. Question number two. All right, we'll get that divine guy in a minute here. How many of you have been crucified? Like on a cross with nails in your hands and hung up on Calvary? All right, I got zeroed out on that one, thank goodness. The third question is, how many of you have been resurrected on the third day, rising from a tomb? Yeah, that's what I figured. You're not the Messiah. And I'm relieved. And I'm not the Messiah either. And you're relieved. See, my problem with this text is that why does Jesus want us to follow him? If we can't answer those three questions, how do we follow him? Take up his cross? Hey, that's his job, not ours. Take up your cross, Jesus. We are very grateful for that, believe me. And see, Peter got confused. He says, no. You can't take up the cross. He didn't want Jesus to do it. Jesus clarifies for Peter. You see, he says, the issue is not who's divine or who's human. But where is your mind? What do you have your mind set on? Which is that part of that, who am I? Who are you? Where is your mind? Want to be the Messiah? Good, try that one. I've tried to be the Messiah for a lot of people and several congregations, and guess what? It never happened, and it never worked. On October 11th, we are going to have an installation here. It's a Saturday morning at about 11 o'clock. We're going to be gathering here for the installation of my service here as pastor. On that day, there will be an installation of your new pastor, not a coronation of the new king and boss, or for that matter, of the king or lord. This is an installation, not a coronation. So who are you? Who are we? Well, listen carefully to the text, because a lot of people twist this easily, and they think, just like you may have heard me twist it a little bit, take up the cross. It's not take up the cross. It's take up their cross, or take up your cross. To answer that and to figure that one out takes understanding what the cross is. So let me refresh for you, in case you haven't been around Good Friday for a while. The cross, but now, again, take out Jesus on the cross and the whole Good Friday thing, okay? Let's take the cross when Jesus says it. Take up your cross. Okay, what's that mean? Well, the cross in Jesus' time was for people who defied the emperor. The cross was for those who resisted the status quo, particularly in terms of injustice. The cross was for those who got silenced to prevent sharing knowledge of greater freedom in life. The cross was for those who screamed out for justice and mercy and love and compassion. The cross was for those whose spirit and scripture-led lives meant help someone. That's the cross. That's the take up your cross of Jesus. Basically, be the love of God. Jesus said, take up your cross. Follow me. As I said, I don't know you, but I hope you know you. What is your cross? What act of defiance of the emperor are you ready for? I was asked that at the call committee, first or second call committee interview here at St. Paul's. What would you be willing to go to the wall for, in a sense? What are you taking up your cross for? Well, in the places that I've been in my life, I've taken up the cross in various different ways, depending upon the situation. One of them was against the Ku Klux Klan, racism. Other places, it might have been sexism. Other places, it might have been fill in the blank. What's your cross? What are you going to the wall for? What in the present so ticks you off that you want to spend time, you want to spend reading scripture, you want to spend prayer time, you want to be in action for? What's your cross? What voices of injustice do you hear? Who needs mercy? Who needs love? Who needs compassion? What cross is you willing to take up for that? Take up your cross, Jesus said. Not mine, he said. You're not going to be the Messiah. Don't even try that one. But take up your cross is not, by the way, in common theology, I'm stuck with a dead-end job. Well, I guess that's the cross I got to bear. No, that's not taking up your cross. I've got really nasty in-laws. Not me, I'm just kidding. No. I got really great in-laws. Anyway, most of the time. But that's not a cross. I got a lazy husband. Or I got a lazy son. No. That's not taking up a cross. Those are life's normal, sinful issues that we all have to deal with. But take up your cross. Not to save your lousy life. See, that's what the other ones are. I wish I could get rid of such and such in my life. My life would be easier. No, this is not to save your own life. Take up your cross so that you can give life to others. That's your cross. That's your cross of Jesus, giving life to others. Take up your cross, so that indeed life can be given. That's the final purpose in life, Jesus says, is to be able to take up a cross that means something for someone else, not just for ourselves. How can you take up your cross and not be like Peter that says, oh, no, no, no. And you see someone else taking up their cross and you can't do that, you might get. Take up your cross. What did Peter do? He eventually did take up his cross. He died for the sake of sharing the gospel in front of the Roman Empire. And because he refused to take up Jesus' cross, he asked to be crucified upside down. So it wouldn't even appear that he was the next or new or whatever Messiah. How did Peter do that? The resurrection. He knew the power of the resurrection. He knew the hope of the resurrection was on the other side, just like those hurdles. He knew there was good running on the other side. He knew there was a goal out there. He knew there was something really special and life-giving and life-fulfilling out there. It's more than just hurdles. It's that taking up the cross and running with what you got. It's the resurrection hope that drives us all. That's why we celebrate the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. Because it makes it visible, makes it real that, yes, the crushed wheat and the crushed grape fermented become life for us. Jesus' life crushed and crushed, squeezed out for us. That's why we celebrate the Eucharist. So that we can know his resurrected life to be alive and present for others. And together, people who are in the Eucharist, to build us as a community of cross takers. Indeed, as verse 25 says, those who want to save their life will lose it, yeah. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Enjoy your life this week, finding it. Take up your cross. Amen. Our next hymn is number 614. There is a balm in Gilead.
we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless your holy Catholic Church, that in its witness it may be bold like Peter, to be able to proclaim you as Messiah, Jesus, but help us to be bold, to be able to dare to give our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, bless this wonderful creation you have made for us. Fill it with enough nourishment to feed the world, to feed us, to strengthen us, to serve you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, we pray for St. Paul's Lutheran Church, for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and all churches around, that we may serve you, to be strengthened to help serve and help others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, we ask your blessing on those who hurt, need healing, and need comforting. We ask you to surround them with your arms, strengthen them with peace, healing, and your loving touch, that they may be assured of your presence. Are there those for whom we should be praying this day? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Great God, we thank you for all the saints who have gone before us, for all the disciples, for St. Peter, for St. Paul, and for all those in our hearts and minds who have gone before us in witness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Greet each other with a sign of Christ's peace. Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give us thanks and praise. It is our duty and delight that we should everywhere and always offer thanks and praise to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened the way to everlasting life, and so with the church on earth, all creation and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out upon your Holy Spirit upon us and on your gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With St. Peter, your holy ones of all times and all places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may stand as you are able. May God the sower make you good and fertile soil. May Christ the seed bloom and grow in your words and actions. May the fruitful Spirit bring forth a bountiful yield in your lives. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn is number 834, Immortal Invisible.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.